Basically, this weather forecast is why I've asked Neil Vincent, my friend from the Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge. He's the visitor service manager. Join me this morning. How are you this morning?
Just fine. How you doing, Tom?
Good. I've been trying to convince Robert, like, for the last 3 days, this is camping weather. Let's go camping. Let's go Crab Orchard. No.
Oh, it's something.
His first thing, he says, no, I already paid for a mattress. I'm not sleeping on the ground.
Yeah. It's going to be great this weekend. So.
It really is. You're going to get pounded this weekend. You know that.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious, by the way. Tent camping was not allowed. Is it still not allowed, RVs only? What's the story there?
Yeah, we're still doing RVs only, and it's more of a safety thing. You know, the less cleaning. We're trying to encourage individuals to bring self-contained units so we don't have to clean the bathrooms and showers as often. And then, like I said, most of the individuals that run our campground, run the campground for us, are volunteer hosts, which are in that age of, you know, upper 60s to 70s, and that kind of at the category, at risk category. So we're just trying to make everything a little bit safer for our campers as well as our volunteer hosts.
Any idea how long that will continue, that standard?
You know, we will probably, you know, we're going to keep the campground open until the first deer season this year, and we'll probably go ahead and run it that way throughout this season, and then reevaluate it this winter, then go back. We're hoping to go back to normal next year, but I guess everyone's kind of hoping for that too. So
right. Well, you know, I did stop by and see. I guess it was about two or three Saturdays ago. I thought, well, maybe he might be working, and I had to get my sticker updated anyway. You know, you'd given us some areas of grace when it comes to having our stickers on the vehicle when we go on the property. But I knew it was time to get that, you know, because quite frankly, it'd be very embarrassing for you or one of your guys have to write me a ticket.
Mm-hmm,
I would be more than a little bit embarrassed by that, you know, especially when it's only, what, $15 and I spend so much time there. And it was interesting when I walked in, you had moved the service desk up to the right where the alcove ends, and at a plexiglass barrier. And when I noticed in particular, there was a positive airflow, which I thought was pretty smart by design, or just happened that way for you.
Well, that was part of the each activity we do. We have like job hazards analysis and things that we have to look at to try to make things safe for the visitor. So that was one of the things our safety officer had came up with and to suggest. So, you know, we were kind of looking at that, and that's all we came up with. And we have to reevaluate what we're doing right now with the federal agency every 2 weeks on doing these activities. And we are doing more here at Crab Orchard Refuge than any other, refuge in our 8-state region when it comes to, activities and things that we're allowing on the refuge.
And you know what? I'm not surprised, because you are very busy. Literally, traffic is one thing, and there's a lot, and I understand why. It's the very same reason I'm going. I go out, I make sure I've got my phone right in my hand, so if I see some turkey or deer, I can get a photograph. I notice several signs urging you to stay in vehicle while you're doing so. I go for a drive, down there and kind of see who's fishing and seeing what's going on, take a walk with a dog, that type of thing. And I know your activity's been up, and when I saw that positive airflow, my first thought is that's pretty clever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been doing this and at the expense of some of the items that you've had scheduled, where kids and adults get to go meet some hawks and eagles and other wildlife there in your arena that you have on the property. So you've had to curtail some of those activities.
Yeah. A lot of the things, we're set back on, and so we have been learning our video skills and going back to some of those old VHS type days and things like that. So we are planning. If you follow us on Facebook, we're going to start trying to do a lot of these activities on our Facebook virtual type activities, butterfly tagging, wildflower identification, and all this. So we started a series of Facebook post. I think we're starting this week on those videos.
Yeah, by the way, I need to talk to you about whoever makes the decisions on which photographs to publish on your Facebook page, because I plan on getting one of those star spots first chance I get. I'm going to get the right shot someday, I'm telling you right now. I mean, because I watched that, I follow along. It's one of the actual escapes that I have, right? I'm like, oh man, good picture, right? And you guys have been doing a lot of that. What do you have, like a mascot that's walking around in a stuffed suit of some sort?
Yeah, the Fish and Wildlife Service has a blue goose, Puddles. So that's Puddles, the official mascot for the Fish and Wildlife Service. So Puddles, she's been kind of wandering around the refuge, taking pictures here and there for her. So.
Okay. But I had a dog named Puddles, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
There's also, of course, the fact that we are coming upon a season. I always think of it this way, the weekend before Thanksgiving, the weekend after Thanksgiving. That's my rule of thumb for deer season. And Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge, right, speaking of getting nailed, right, and I wonder how people react this year. My feeling is, Neil, that you're going to see a lot of activity this year for two reasons: escape and meat in the freezer. And when you see the number of people that come from the north to your territory, you're trying to make some additional changes for deer hunting to make it safe for staff and hunters.
Correct. I mean, and plus we're making some changes on how we check our hunters in, as well as we are opening additional areas up this year for hunting. One thing is for the archery deer hunting, we are going to be opening up 12,000 acres of the restricted area that has never been archery hunted before. We'll be opening that area up from October the 24th through November the 7th. We're just self-check-in, and as long as you got all your hunting tags and permits and things like that, you're allowed to go in and hunt that area. We'll have maps posted on the website today showing those areas. But the big thing is, you know, during those farm hunts that you were talking about, you know, 80% of our hunters come from the Chicago area down here, you know, like I said, just to get away. And it's traditional hunts too. You know, we've got individuals that's got four generations. You know, I talked to a guy last year that had brought his granddaughter and was talking about that his grandfather brought him 40 years ago. And so what we're doing, we're sending information out to all of these hunters before they get here, and we're going to try to do a self-check-in type system so they don't have to come in the visitor center. And because we'll have, you know, at one time 30 or 40 people lined up getting in the visitor and trying to check in. And so we're just trying to do something a little bit different this year to make it safer.
You know, there's a certain wisdom to this additional 12,000 acres for archery. I've been watching. I was involved with an archery business in Saline County for a few years, and it was at the beginning of the archery phenomenon. And the last I checked, every year archery permits have ticked up in Illinois, and I think there's this has not even reached its full potential yet. I would have thought by now it had, but people seem to be really drawn to archery, and I don't think it's the Hunger Games.
No, they have. And plus, you know, state changing some of the regulations on, being able to use a crossbow now.
Right.
Has made it easier for, like, youth hunters and to come out, and more disabled hunters that are using a farm. So it's made it easier for these individuals to come out and harvest deer also during that season.
All right. So if you're making these changes because of the lines for deer permits, don't you still have those lines when it comes to waterfowl, in particular, jockeying for position on which pits you get?
Yeah, I mean, we still, basically what we're doing this as an agency. We actually, nationwide, we opened up, I think, close to 20 million acres of new land for hunting and fishing, you know. And so that's the administration right now is looking at how can we, you know, open up, provide more access for hunting and fishing and outdoor recreation to the general public. So we're looking at all of our lands and seeing what we can do to make it easier access. And also, not only that, to make the regulations. You know, we got looking at our regulations nationwide. And you may hunt here at Crab Orchard, then go up in the middle of the state and hunt one of the other refuges in Savannah or someplace like that and have completely different regulations. So we're trying to make all of our regulations to coincide with what the state regulations is, so it's not as confusing for a hunter. So you'll start seeing even more changes next year at refuges on hunting and fishing and more access, I believe.
You know, and it's interesting because you and I have both been around long enough to where we've seen this shift. Waterfowl is a great example. We've seen the Mississippi flyway change. And it was interesting because I would meet somebody who's in Illinois, and then they would leave their things in a hotel room here and then make little trips down to the farther south to hunt additional locations. They hunted along the flyaway. I mean, they usually, the ones I remember most were farmers, so that it was winter, they didn't have to work, right? And they'd actually be, you know, following up and down. I can see the wisdom of that, some consistency, because, well, it's good for the economy, isn't it? And it is their property.
Yes, correct, correct. Yeah, and so it's been, to me, you know, it's kind of getting us to get out of thinking the same way, make some changes, kind of thinking out of the box and things like this. And we have a new director for the Fish and Wildlife Service, and when she's been out visiting some of the refuges, and she's kind of got, you know, a philosophy, you know, even when we talk about the virus, you know, what's open and closed, she's kind of walked out and kind of, in her opinion, is, if I can look up and see the sky, why is this not open to the public? And so that's kind of, you know, what we're looking at nationwide is what can we do to make these lands more available. And, you know, you talked about the waterfowl hunt. That's another big change. You know, we used to have blinds where we drew for blinds daily for those waterfowl hunts.
Right.
Mostly for goose hunting. And those blinds were, we were averaging like six hunters a day, or six blinds, so it's about 12 hunters a day. That was taking up about 3,000 acres of the refuge. So this year we've pulled all of those blinds out, and it's just like more like a first come, first serve. And that allows some of these hunters to kind of spread out and maybe hunt areas that they know that has not been hunted for like 20 years or something like that. So we're going to see how that works out this year also.
So break out the Bernelli and head down to Crab Orchard.
Yes.
Hey, any other changes we need to be cognizant of? Because, boy, this, you know, whether, because I think about Crab Orchard, but, you know, and I have a tendency to focus on the, you know, the campground by the bridges at Route 13. But, you know, a little grassy. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on these sites. And I noticed the other day that Little Grassy saying, if you want to rent a boat, you better do it now. I mean, you're seeing pressure like you really haven't seen before in a lot of different categories.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, with our traffic and trail counters, it's just been amazing, you know. And it's just not Crab Orchard. You know, I talked to some individuals down at some of the refuges in Florida. And their visitation, too, you know, there's a lot to do in the Florida areas, but their visitation is just like the hours. It's up 30%, 40% in some places and things like this. And you know, I think, you know, individuals, like I said, they're tired of sitting in the house, and they're getting out, and they're discovering us. And so we're seeing all kinds of, you know, pressure here from camping and hiking trails and like I said, the boat rentals.
All right. Well, the place looked good when I was out last time. Yep. Mode, I know your staff works very hard at doing that. I know a few of the guys, they take their work very serious, and you can tell in the condition of the park. Looks good. Right. I've been to some other state parks that look a little threadbare from use. Erosion that, yep, comes along, secondary use or erosion from, you know, using paths and things along that line. But I thought your place looked, yep, good, Vince. I really did.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
All right.
I'll let the guys know.
Please do. If I don't, because I tried to get their attention the other day, but they were apparently very busy on a construction project not very far from the visitor center on that lane that comes right across from the west from the visitor center. I know you're doing some work almost constantly down there and mowing and clearing away some of the brush along some of the roads as well. Our guest this morning has been Neil Vincent. He is the visitor service manager at Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge. Crab Orchard is like no other refuge really in the country, in my opinion. It's not just my opinion. It's derived from actually reading about it, that you do things at Crab Orchard. We've done things open to industrial, agricultural, tourism. I mean, and I thought it was interesting, your observation about the new director. If we can see the sky, why isn't this open? And I think that's an interesting aspect, because Crab Orchard is truly unique. So if you get a chance this weekend with an outstanding weather forecast like this, take the camera, take the kids. Won't you head out? There's a few picnic tables here and there you can take about. This new visitor center that you have, what I call a visitor center, camping area on Route 13, not a camping area, visitors location. You want to come in and do some with a little peninsulas? That place is looking good, too. I just stopped by, and, man, there's people there every day. I stop and talk to them in their lawn chairs. You know, some of them are there just to relax, some of them because they want to eat. You know, you meet all kinds of interesting people. College students are there, 85 years old, fishing crappie. You really have a long selection and a staff. I tell you, I've never met a staff member that was a jerk. they're great people. You really do.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's 20,000 cars a day that goes by that point you're talking about. And, you know, I've pushed that for years. You know, that needs to be our spot. That's where we need to focus on. It needs to look nice, you know, when the visitors come in. And it has. The improvements that we've made over there, you know, people are using it. I mean, you know, every day there's people there fishing.